Today's gospel lesson comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 53. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of all these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Thou who art over us, Thou who art one of us, Thou who simply art, give each of us a pure heart that we may see Thee, a humble heart that we may hear Thee, a heart of love that we may serve Thee, and most of all, a heart of faith that we may always abide in Thee. This is our hope. This is our prayer this morning. Amen. Well, today is Ascension Sunday. Ascension Day is one of those obscure days on the Christian calendar in which most persons are not aware, but it is an important day for us. Ascension Day takes place, as Alicia said, 40 days after Easter, and remembers and celebrates the ascension of Jesus into heaven. Most congregations honestly don't even acknowledge this day. Does anyone have fond memories of Ascension Day? It is an important day for us. It really is. In fact, looking over my files, I don't ever remember preaching on this text from Luke. So why now? We may be asking ourselves, myself included. Hopefully that question will be answered by the end of today's sermon. Ascension Day is important for us. Stories told of a pastor who would never take time to prepare a sermon during the week. On Sunday mornings, the pastor would sit up on the altar while the congregation was singing the opening hymn, desperately praying, "God, God, give me a message. God, give me your message." One Sunday, while praying unceasingly for God's message, the pastor heard God say, "Beloved, here's my message. You're lazy." Sometimes weeks are like that, but I assure you, not this week. Trust me, I had to dust off the commentaries this week. This text has great significance for us. Jesus ascended, and we remain. That's really what today is all about. Jesus ascended, and we remain. We could stop right there. But several of you were very disappointed last week when we got out of church early. So I'm going to take my time this morning. Jesus ascended and we remain. Just like that, Jesus is gone. Following the resurrection, he reappears just long enough to say goodbye to his closest followers. And then he is gone again. He leaves. And he leaves behind no children, no estate, no writings, no trace of himself. Except this lingering feeling that his presence was real and that his absence is somehow temporary. For the disciples, it must have been both a mixture of joy and grief, of doubt and uncertainty. had made such an impact upon their lives, and now it was their time to make an impact out in the world. Jesus ascended, and we remain. The ascension stories, including this morning's lesson from Luke, say that Jesus is taken up to heaven, carried away to be with God, just like Elijah. And while we puzzle over the physics and the logistics of how this exactly happened, and while some of us might get stuck right here in the text trying to figure it out, we have no trouble understanding this text emotionally. We all know about saying goodbyes. We all know about the life-changing situations and transitions that we experience in this life. We too know much about loss. Loved ones are taken away from us, and sometimes suddenly the manner in which they depart often catches us off guard, and we're left to wonder why. Even though we know, or we say, or we even rationalize that they are going to a better place, we still cannot follow. And most times we have a hard time imagining that we ever will. In the strange days afterwards, we are left to reconcile our feelings with a new reality. We take an inventory, and then we take steps to put one foot in front of the other for the living of our days. We may find ourselves just like the disciples, pondering the question, what are we left with? Sometimes we remain to carry on a legacy. Sometimes we remain to pass along our wisdom and experience. Or sometimes we remain to pass along those traditions that would soon be forgotten if we failed to share them with others. Jesus has ascended, and we remain. It seems to me that this text will only make sense when we shift our focus from a Jesus floating away on the clouds to what these verses tell us about our faith and our faith experience. One way this text speaks to us can help clarify the relationship between Jesus and God. Heaven becomes not defined so much as a place up there, but rather the human expression for where God resides. Jesus has been carried off to be with God, to abide with God. The meaning of the ascension is somehow all wrapped up in the significance of Jesus now being with God. Jesus has ascended. We are the ones who remain. This text even hints that a new image of God is emerging. In verse 52, we read that the first act of the disciples was to worship Jesus after he was taken up to heaven. You see, the followers of Christ, all faithful Jews, knew that God alone was to be worshipped. And now Jesus is included in their worship. For the first time, it's no longer possible to talk about God without talking about Jesus. This is significant. There, our lens for thinking about God must now always include a crucified, risen, and living Christ. You see, most people, Christians included, seem to, over time, naturally lapse into a view of God that makes sense. A view of God that makes sense from a reasonable, logical, faith-inspired point of view. God is imagined to be perfect in the sense that God is beyond all limitations of time and space. God is unchanging and all-powerful. God is majestic and sovereign and eternal. Of course, it's possible to find scripture to support all of these claims about God. And for the most part, all of these claims are undisputed. And it's not that they are wrong, but rather they are incomplete. Things have changed. Jesus has ascended. The God now being worshipped by the disciples in the text for the first time is also one who knows loneliness and betrayal and rejection and thirst and even death. You see, the ascension of Jesus into heaven alters there our picture of God. God can no longer be defined in a way that leaves God completely detached from human experience. The ascended Jesus who sits at the right hand of God reveals a God who is vulnerable, even approachable. Things have changed. You see, when we turn to God in times of distress or temptation, we are not addressing a deity that is aloof and unfamiliar with our own struggles. God knows our trials intimately well and not only comforts us by identifying with us in our pain, God also assures us that our circumstances, our situations will never, ever have the final word. It's the risen and ascended Christ who intercedes for us, and nothing can separate us from that love. You see, Jesus ascends and we are left with a bigger picture of who God is and will be in our lives. This is significant. You see, this ascension stuff is something that we have professed before. It's something that we say in the Apostles' Creed. It's now something that we should believe in our hearts. Next, there's also this strong emphasis on forgiveness that is implicit and explicit in this text. Don't lose sight of the very fact that the very appearance of the resurrected Christ to his disciples is first and foremost a message of forgiveness. The ones who fled and denied Jesus are not reminded of their cowardice, their fear, and their faintness of heart. Rather, Jesus' first words to his disciples, those confused and bewildered disciples, is one of peace. Peace be with you, Jesus tells them, not once, but twice. Moreover, this is not a word meant only for his closest companions during his earthly ministry. This radical word of mercy is to inform and inspire an entire mission. As Jesus tells them, repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations. This ascension, the ascension of Christ himself, underlines this mission of mercy. One commentator points out that it is often overlooked at the actual way that Jesus took leave from his followers. We are told that Jesus and his disciples go out to Bethany, where lifting up his hands, he blesses them. While he is blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up to heaven. Jesus' departure to heaven is accompanied by a blessing of lifted hands. Friends, these are the very hands of Christ, a witness of his mission and ministry to the world. Just think about all those things that his hands witnessed and experienced during his mission and his ministry. Jesus ascended and we remain. Jesus has ascended and is no longer physically present. The body of Jesus is no longer with us. Except as the church, the body of Christ. Too often we overlook that fact that we are literally the hands and feet, Christ's physical presence in this world. We remain, and with that remaining comes responsibilities. As one author has commented, the church is God's plan A, and he doesn't have a plan B. That puts tremendous pressure on the disciples, and it should put tremendous pressure upon us. You see, the disciples were not there that day by accident or by circumstance, nor are we here this morning by accident or by circumstance. We are all a very important part of God's plan. The disciples had been chosen by the very hands with which they had just been blessed. And we too have been chosen to use our gifts and our abilities. The disciples were chosen for their time and place, and we have been chosen for this time and place. The disciples were called by name and named as Christ's followers, and we have been called by name through the waters of our baptism. Jesus has ascended, and we remain. And remaining is important. Remaining doesn't mean left behind or left over or picked over or even forgotten. Remaining does not resemble being the last child standing after the first and second round draft picks have been made by the neighborhood baseball team. We have been individually and collectively chosen and named for this task. Jesus has ascended, and we remain. We remain to carry on Jesus' ministry, Jesus' mission in this world. This is God's way. We are now Christ's visible presence in this world. Things have changed. So, how are we doing with our remaining? Ultimately, that will be determined. But look around at all of the brokenness that exists in and around our world. How are we remaining? If we really think about it, our omissions, those things upon which we fail to act, count just as much as those things that we do in this world. We can't do it all, but we can do something. It begs the question, if we are able to see, to realize, to recognize the brokenness and the division in the world, then is God calling us? Is God speaking to us? If we recognize and even feel the aches and the pains within the body of Christ, if we see the church as being stretched and pulled apart, do we strive for love and acceptance? Are we bold enough to speak with our words and our actions, breathing peace into those situations? Friends, Jesus has ascended and we remain. Jesus is relying upon us. How will we remain? The ascension is an ending, but it's also an important beginning. Jesus did not leave his disciples alone, and he doesn't leave us alone either. Jesus promised the gift of the Holy Spirit. "I am sending you one," Jesus said, "that will teach you and remind you of all that I've said to you." Stay tuned. That's next week as we celebrate Pentecost. But today, Jesus has ascended. And we remain. And remaining comes with responsibilities. Jesus tells his disciples to remain in the city for what comes next. And God help us.